Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted Podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and we've got a sweet tooth for today's guest. There's a chocolat to talk about, so everybody say yeah. Don't get bitter and gimme some sugar because you're worth 100 grand. It's our payday today, so don't snicker and just almond joy it. Oh, Henry!
I just realized what's happening.
Mr. Goodbar has those butterfingers, but he's got a Milky Way about him. Very extra. So we're going to climb the mounds with a bunch of crunch under our feet and explain with a crackle, we're nerds, but you're my peeps. So let's tootsie roll along. Joining us today are the usual lifesavers, including Kevin Poppin' Rock Jager.
Oh, I like that one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm doing it right now. You can't tell, but I'm popping and rocking.
Great.
It's very exciting.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello, I'm Instagramming.
Great. And with us today is somebody you may have seen in the Irish Reps Finian's Rainbow and on Broadway or in the first national tour of Kinky Boots. He just finished the run of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So let's give a big Broadway-sized welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Kyle Taylor Parker. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Of course. I'm so happy to be here.
Absolutely. You can follow him on social media at KTPway.
That's right.
That's on Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, at KTPway.
Oh, that's like...
Check out that branding.
Yeah. Right? Oprah taught me well.
We're really happy you're here. We have so much to talk about because little did you know, there is an ultra fan who is not in the room,
but down the street.
She's down the street?
Yeah.
My mom?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes.
I did prep Kyle for this. I did tell him that your mom is like
my
his
mother
super
is down
fan.
The street. She sent me with a few questions for you.
Fabulous.
That I think we'll get to later.
We will. But I just like
but my
prepping
mom,
you.
On really my way, I was like, I'm going to go meet Kyle. And she was like, it's KTP.
Yes.
Oh, so it works. Your like, branding works.
It's like the Goldbergs. KTP.
Yeah. And that's kind of exactly how I responded to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
She like flipped her shit. No. We told her you're going to be on the show.
So you apparently responded to one of my mother's tweets once.
Oh, yeah?
And so now she thinks you're best friends.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
But also, her good friend's son is Anthony Piccarello, who was young Charlie for quite a time while you were on tour.
He's so fabulous.
And so she has gone backstage.
That's
I think
such
it,
a
she
mom
saw in Philadelphia.
Story.
Yes.
Like, my best friend's cousin's son's first godson was actually in the show, not with you, but the other Lola.
And you're like, great,
she has
great,
seen
thanks.
It like twice because of Anthony, but one time still. Was with you. Though
awesome.
Not the signed poster that's in the bathroom in her apartment.
Oh, no, we have to fix that.
Yeah. She's going to wake up, he'll be in her bathroom signing the poster.
Crossing out Jay Harrison.
Yeah.
B.
That's who I love. That's you can amazing. Have both of us.
Right. Yes, two Lolas in one show.
Yeah.
Exactly. One will be the low and one will be the la.
Wait, guys, Lola in sideshow?
Whatever Lola wants.
Like a sideshow revival, but it's two Lolas.
That's good. Sometimes it feels like
I love
the show.
That.
I will never leave you.
But let's start first with what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
I haven't even taken a sip yet.
Well, go for it.
I'm gonna.
So good.
Sure. Today we are drinking the Hudson Baby Bourbon Whiskey.
Ooh.
It is
so smooth.
It's so smooth. It's delicious.
Hold on. Let me check.
Yeah. Please, everyone, check. Now, when we drink this, what kind of a taste do you get on there?
Bourbon.
Bourbon.
It's all the good stuff, right? It's like
it actually is very smooth.
Like the barrel, like is it oak?
Yeah, there's a split oak in there.
Uh-huh.
There's a hint of vanilla, right?
I do taste that. Let me try again.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And according to the Surgeon General, women who are should not drink who are pregnant.
Kimberly, you okay?
I'm just reading that.
Oh,
oh no. As the only one in this room that pertains to.
Yay. Cheers.
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 And can we talk about our cups?
Guys, we found cup tumblers in the WeWork today from the view upstairs.
I mean, it was amazing.
Now
I
didn't
know
they had tumblers.
I didn't know they did either. I'm really excited about it, though.
Yeah, where were these to purchase when we saw the show?
Maybe these were giveaways?
Yeah, it's an exclusive gift here.
Yeah. Let's start with, what have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
What have I seen today?
Oh, true.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to start, Kimberly?
Today, I went twice on this island.
Oh.
Because I saw Once on This Island twice, if you didn't get that joke.
You saw it twice today?
I saw it twice today. No, I saw the matinee with my mother.
Lovely.
How was it the second time?
The second time, so I made sure that I sat on the opposite side so that I got a different viewpoint. So, I don't want to do spoilers. But I will say, I mean, I was able to see more of the show this time because I wasn't crying as much because I knew it was coming.
Okay.
And we sat, if you remember the last time that we saw this show, dear listener... There was a woman who decided to go to the bathroom before a song.
That was so incredible.
And then immediately realized she could not leave. And so turned around and slowly tried to get back to her seat while T-Moon waited very patiently behind her to get to her mark.
She was, you could see in her eyes, she was getting like more and more nervous by like the millisecond that she was going to hit her mark because she was stuck by this woman trying to like...
It was right before Mama Will Provide.
Down the stairs.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but I need to.
Yes, for sure.
She was so, Haley was so nervous.
And so at this seat, I didn't even notice it was happening until like she jumped up onto the boat.
And then you're like,
because
oh,
it came from behind.
And I was like, oh, she's there. Oh, it was earlier this time. But I did get to be very close to the goat, and that made me very excited.
And the goat was on, it wasn't the goat's cover?
I don't know. There are two goats. I don't know that I can tell them apart right away. I did get a closer view of the diaper this time.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if the diaper... First of all, I will also like to say that on my walk to the Circle in the Square Theater today, it was raining. And I was like, what are these like pellet-shaped poops all over the sidewalk? And then I was like, it's goat poops. We're going to go see the goats.
Oh, my God. There
so
was
at first
goat
I was annoyed,
poop in New York.
And then I was very excited. And then I realized how many people had stepped in them. And I was just like, they are all tracking this.
How would you like if you were the stagehand who they were like, so your job is to change the goat?
Like, I know.
They have a child wrangler and a goat wrangler.
Right.
Or maybe it's the same person.
Could be.
Yeah. What have you seen lately?
I haven't been able to see much. I just closed Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on Sunday.
And what were you doing on Monday night?
Like, oh, and then
literally
Monday.
Literally closed and then...
And then on Monday night, I debuted my solo concert in New York City.
That's so cool.
Yeah, yay. It was really cool.
Think
it was a magical
well?
Night. Yeah, it
That's
was
amazing.
A really, really magical night.
You were at Green 42, right?
Yep.
That's
I love
awesome.
That.
Are more of those coming up?
Yeah. I just
when?
Found out today on the way here. That's
wait, really?
It here. Yeah, we got the scoop.
Oh, I don't know when they'll
okay.
be or where they'll be.
But you're doing one.
But I'm definitely doing them, and it seems like it might be a monthly situation.
Yes.
As soon as it starts, it'll just keep going and going.
That's
and
awesome.
Going.
So
and
stay
it's called
tuned.
Soul Sessions, right?
Yep, it's called the Soul Session, and you can catch
KTP.
KTP, that's it. And it started off from like YouTube videos of covers of Broadway songs that I turned into soul standards.
Uh-huh.
And when I got the closing notice, I was like, let's do this for real.
Yeah,
yes.
You know,
awesome.
Literally so, the day after I close the show.
Yeah.
Was there
literally.
A party?
Yeah.
Like, did you have to restrain yourself?
Yes, I did. I was like, I will party tomorrow night after the last song. So I did a toast and
so,
went to bed.
I have a very important question for you.
Okay.
How many cabbages did you sell, Charlie, in the course of?
What do? We did 300 shows. I probably missed 6 singing at other concerts. So.
So we're like. In the
300 minus 6.
Yeah.
I sing. I don't know.
Like 294-ish?
Yeah, I'd
okay.
say that many.
All right.
And just one cabbage a show?
Yeah, one cabbage a show. Because after that, it's the
reason.
Candy.
Right.
Oh, right. Mm.
That was also his contract. He wasn't going to do
I
more than one cabbage.
Story,
yeah. It was the. They have a cabbage clause now.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's talk about Kinky Boots for a
mm-hmm.
bit. You played Lola on the first national tour.
Yep.
And you also played Lola on Broadway.
Yep.
Was there a difference in audiences, in the production? And if you could talk to the differences, I think that'd be cool.
100%. Yeah, I also did it in Toronto. So I've
oh.
done it
oh.
with a lot of Charlies. That's
mm-hmm.
one big difference.
Yeah.
It's like... The cool thing is that you always got a new best friend every time you did the show with a different Charlie.
So you've never done a show without a Charlie in it.
Oh, no, I haven't. I've never done a Broadway
or
show
a
without a Charlie or a factory. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do for the next show. That's really true.
That's amazing.
Oh.
But the big difference between Broadway and tour is, like, the tour houses would be huge, like 4,000, some of them.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Playing the Gamage in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the challenge would really be getting to the back of the house, but still, like, being honest to the story and not, you know, doing, like, a big speechifying version of the show.
Yeah.
And on Broadway, the audience is right in the palm of your hand, and you're already a drag queen, right? And to me, the honesty of Lola was important to me, no matter what. Even, like, when she's in the club, and that can be very big and fabulous, to me, you want to feel her soul. But you don't want to beat him over the head with it. So for me, it was always about trying to find that balance between, you know, giving it to them, but also not, like, hitting them over the head with it.
Yeah.
What was it like for you going into drag like that? Was this, like, your first experience doing drag, doing the show?
Ever. That is one of my mom's questions.
She said, what was it like to dress like a woman?
The good thing is this, I started
Does she not know?
I'm sure he wore much more makeup than my mother.
That was a lot of makeup. Well, I started off as an angel in the ensemble, so, like, by the time I got to Lola, that's it. I felt more comfortable in everything. And the best part was when you're Lola, you have a makeup artist. So that part, I didn't have to worry about.
Oh, that's
when I was an angel, it was like an arts and crafts project on my face.
Popsicle sticks.
Stencils?
Yes.
Did you use brow stencils and everything?
Brow stencils.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They're real.
When I was an angel, I didn't have brow stencils. And then when I became Mrs. Green, which, that's a different story. They kind of forgot to cast the part. And on the first day of rehearsal, Jack O'Brien goes, oh, you can be Mrs. Green. You've been in drag before. So it's like, I need to get these eyebrows. Yes, that's how it happened. Yes. And I was like, well, fabulous. And Mrs. Green, at that point, was like one scene in the rehearsal process. Mrs. Green, like, came on for one scene, sold the cabbage, disappeared.
Yeah.
So over time, it became something very big, something very medium.
I was going to say,
like,
it
went through so many changes.
And it was such an interesting part. I was like, why did that part need to be in drag?
What a weird double cast.
Yeah. That's how it was told to me. But
so
I was
now,
like,
you have to carry your, like, eyebrow stencil everywhere just because you never know.
Exactly.
No one should leave home without an
eyebrow
stencil.
That's it. Anastasia.
The symmetry, guys.
So, you know how, like, some podcasts, like, will name the episodes, like, a quote from the podcast? I think we found ours.
No one should leave home without an eyebrow stencil.
Yes.
Guys, I just got a new brow pencil. I'm, like, really trying hard to make sure they work.
Was the makeup the most difficult part, or was it the actual kinky boots? Like, were, like, the heels and everything, like, a difficult thing to
or
learn?
Or 8 shows a week.
So
any of those.
I was with the show for 5 years, so it kind of...
Holy moly.
It depends on...
Through all different... I mean, not through all...
In different capacities, yeah. And so it's like throughout that time span, it was a different thing. So in the beginning, it was the makeup, not the shoes. In the end, it was the shoes, not the makeup.
Yeah.
In the middle, it was like... 8 shows a week because I was kind of just still figuring it out.
Yeah.
The thing with me and 8 shows a week with that part was actually liberating. And I'm not trying to say this like, ha ha ha, I'm so great. But to me, I was so cautious in the beginning because everyone talks about 8 shows a week, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is, I don't know. So I was being very, very careful.
And this was your debut?
This is once I became Lola.
But Kinky Boots originally was your debut.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. It was my debut.
Cool.
So I was like, oh, this 8 shows, because I was being so careful. And then 1 week I was just kind of like, fuck it. I'm just going to see how much I can get away with. And that, I don't know of all shows, but that show is written so well that you really can ride it if you're a smart, safe singer. And I was like, I want to live like this, like on the edge. I don't want to live in that safe, scared place because that's nothing to sing about.
No. And that's not where Lola lives
either.
Exactly.
But it's so funny, like, we have in our heads, like, 8 shows a week, it's so hard, it's so scary. But some things are hard and worth it, and that was hard and worth it.
Were you covering for Billy from, like, from the get-go, the original cast?
No, I wasn't. So when I first got hired, I was 23 when I got that job. And so I auditioned.
And you're 70 now.
I know. I know. So... I was really young. Everyone liked me, I guess, but they were like, oh, he's too young for the part.
Uh-huh.
And then
someone
told me in the cast, they were like, you should just ask them if, you know, perhaps you could cover. They already had 2 covers, and I was like, all right, you guys, I may never go on, ever, ever, ever. But to me, this part's like drag Othello. And they actually bought it, and I was shocked about that. I was like, oh, God, they actually believed me. Okay. So then I got paid to rehearse for a while, and there was one day there that, you know, no one was in the building to play the part but me. And they were like, are you ready? And I was like, am I ready? I'm ready. And we kind of from there, it just kind of took off and became this thing that I never imagined it to be.
And then... Then they cast you at a national tour.
Uh-huh.
And the rest is...
History.
That's amazing.
Herstory.
Herstory. Yeah.
That's so crazy. Does Gail have any questions?
Let's see if Let's pull up Gail's questions.
I'm gonna, while you do that, I'm going to... Can you pass me the Hudson bourbon? I want my baby bourbon,
I was going to try to do that. And I was like, thanks, you are.
All right. A question from Gail. How much did you love being Lola?
I absolutely loved it. I still love it. I do it sometimes in the bathroom. Like,
oh, yeah?
Just to see if I still can. Yeah. Just,
you still got it?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite number?
Oh, I loved the Land of Lola reprise because that was one they really were like... Just go for it. So awesome. It would just be me and the band. I guess it's always been my dream to just be me and the band to a certain extent. That's what I love from Monday night, my show.
Is that like, the name of your autobiography?
Like, me and the band. It could be.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. If not, it's definitely a chapter.
Yeah. Who knows where life's going?
Me and the band. Me and the new band.
So
me and the Monday band.
Where's the band?
The band's visit.
Where's the band?
Where's my band? Where's my backup singers?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, I loved it. Loved the part.
What else does Gail say? Did you have fun with all the angels backstage on tour?
You know what's weird? You don't actually, as Lola, get to see the angels. You're always changing it to a shoe or this or that. And, like, their dressing room is to the left and yours is, like, in a closet someplace close to the stage.
And if you're on stage at the same time, you're in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anytime I'd be on stage, I'd always try to, like, make eyes with them or something.
Yeah, yeah.
In those big houses, really, you feel alone because you see nothing. It's just big, big, big. So if I could look at anyone on stage, it would get me through. It. Yeah.
So I'd love to do
A little proposition.
Yeah, this Hudson baby bourbon goes right to you.
And baby's growing up.
Yeah. I want to do a segment called Stage Door Stories.
Stage Door Stories.
Okay. We would love to hear some of your favorite stage door stories from whether it's on tour with Hair or in the Heights or from Kinky Boots or even just recently Charlie. Anything wonderful or hilarious, whatever you'd like to share with us.
I'll first start with sentimentally because I'm like a big old sap.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, actually. I loved playing Philadelphia. It was my favorite place. I can't wait to go back to it.
Yes.
I did University of the Arts as a kid, their summer prep program there, and I love that. Anyway, I was
Are
at the
you from
Forest.
Philly?
I'm not. I'm from Wisconsin, but like I love their summer. I really wanted to go to UARC.
Did you also like grew up in like East Africa, West Africa?
I did.
Like I have it here.
I grew up all over the
Paris,
world.
Paris, Zurich, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is where I ended up. Yeah. My mom worked in public health. So like I mean, that's also why I'm like sentimental and why Kinky's so special too. It's like people in the world. And so we're doing Kinky Booth in Philadelphia. It feels really great because, you know, all the old Broadway shows, they did tryouts there.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the stage door.
The forest is beautiful.
It's beautiful. You know, it's really magical because they have, like, you walk up the stage door, then you go left, and there's, like, this alley, which is very, like, old theater to me. Anyway, there's this guy in the alley. He looks at me and goes, like, hey, you were Lola, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you're going to win a Tony someday. I'm telling you, you're going to win a Tony Award. And I thought, that's the stuff, like, as a kid, you think about that.
Yes.
And I was with my dresser walking on the street, and, like, we walked a little bit further, and he looked at me, and he was like, I think that's something, like, when you win it, which this is crazy talk. It was just maybe not so crazy, but it was a magical moment. He goes, if that happens, you have to thank the guy in the alley of the Forest Theater who said you're going to win a Tony.
Do you think it was 100%. You from the future telling you?
That has to be a part of the speech.
That would be amazing.
Like, I don't know if it was me from the future. I don't know if it was my next door neighbor, but thank you.
I can picture like the next day things. Everyone's like, Kyle gave a great speech, but... He explained time travel
in a very real detailed way.
Yeah. Always leave him a little confused. That's the way.
You might also win a Nobel Prize.
I mean, that's what I said, but he didn't say this.
Yeah.
Notes for the man in the alley.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's such a Philly story, though.
Yeah.
The energy in Philly is very much like, we'll just tell you what we think. And like,
it's so incredible.
And when it's nice, it's like off-putting sometimes in Philadelphia because it's just like, I went to Tony one day and it's like, that didn't seem like a compliment, but that was very nice.
Yeah, that was a little too casual, sir.
Like, oh, thanks, sir.
Yeah.
Or it's just like a very aggressive compliment. Like, did he like point in your face and be like, you, sir.
Yeah, he was really cool.
And do you have a funny story that just comes to mind?
Here's a funny story. This is Broadway. I was... an angel, and we came out, and there was one girl, because this is an old memory, and she was maybe from Japan, and she was dressed head to toe, like Billy Porter in The Sex is in the Heel. I mean, like,
what?
Had made the outfit herself.
Is that
herself.
The red dress?
It's the blue, but I like the
yes,
blue, the
yes,
hat.
Yes, yes, with the hat.
And she was like... And so I come out, I was like, oh my goodness, you're stunning. You're Lola. And then she was like, I played Effie in Dreamgirls. And I want to meet Billy Porter. And like the whole look together, I was like, I'm done. I want to see this production of Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
I will find Billy Porter for you because he must see you right now in this look. It was stunning. I mean, that show had the best fans. We had another person who had the entire cast signatures tattooed onto his arm.
Wow.
Because he was like, you guys are a family to me. And this is how much the show means to me. He had the logo, and then all of our... it was weird, because first we signed his arm, and then he came back and had, like, a tattoo.
Wow.
He was like, this show is a part of me.
Well, we've heard from other people on the podcast who have done Kinky Boots, like, how much you change people's lives just with that show, especially touring.
It's a special show.
Yeah, for sure. Does Gail have any more questions?
Well, her question was, do you like Philadelphia? And that question has been answered.
You've done an excellent job.
Do you have any other favorite cities?
Ooh, I loved San Diego. I love Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I loved San Francisco.
Did you do a sit down there?
In which one?
In San Diego? I thought San Diego was a while, right? That you were there?
I think it was 3 weeks, I want to say. I really liked
that's
San
good.
Diego. Yeah.
Was there a theater that you liked? Like the history or the just, like... the space itself.
The Forest Theater. I loved the Forest Theater.
Philly's theaters are old.
Seattle.
Really?
Fifth Ave.
Oh,
just because
yes.
All the history of it.
Yeah.
The Gamage, the history of it, I told, like, everyone said, this is company did something there. I don't know what. But I told myself that my dressing room was Elaine Stritch's dressing room. It probably wasn't, but that's what I told myself.
So everyone in Arizona got like an Elaine Stritch-tinged Lola.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Lola sings Ladies Who Lunch at the next Soul Sessions. You heard it here first.
Oh, it's coming, yeah.
That's so amazing.
Let's play a game.
You want to play a game?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to play Plot Points.
Okay.
Which is, Plot Points is a game where in one hand I have today... some classic movies.
Mm-hmm.
In the other hand, I have some classic 11 o'clock numbers.
Okay.
And so what you're going to do is take one from each pile, and you're going to try to explain the plot of the movie to the tune of the 11 o'clock number.
Love it.
Got it.
All right, I'm going to take a movie. Back in the day, Nazis were after this girl, and
so it's back in
she
the day.
Back
to
went
before,
to Morocco right. and entered a gin bar, the only gin bar in the world.
Oh, it's Casablanca.
Played again, Sam. There was a time. Yeah.
It's a gin bar?
Well, like a lot of all the gin bars in all the world, you had to walk into
mine. All the gin joints, right?
Yeah, all the gin joints.
I didn't realize it was that long. I haven't seen Casablanca since I was like 12 years old.
I love the movie. Great.
Okay.
I'll try.
Okay.
Here we go. I came from the North Pole. My parents left me here. I like to eat candy.
Elf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Eat candy.
I'm here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elf time here. Oh, that's so good.
Back to Will Ferrell.
That's hilarious.
Oh. Elf, that classic Christmas movie.
It is.
I do love it.
Okay, so this guy broke his leg and he's looking out his window.
It's rear window.
Then he sees a murder and he thinks it's bad, but he isn't sure, so he has to try.
Finishing
to figure
the hat.
It out.
No, close.
He
I
is
know what it is.
Really scared. It is Jimmy Stewart. He says, hello, movie house, and other things like that, but maybe that is not inside this movie.
No, that's not.
It's The Last Midnight.
Yes!
Last Midnight.
I wrote that
it's
I knew
a song it. Time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Rear Window with a hint of It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Here's to the women with tigers. Living in their house.
Ladies Who Lunch and Bringing Up Baby.
Correct.
Yes.
What's
it's a tiger,
up
right?
Baby?
What?
It's a woman who like buys a tiger and then has a tiger.
Yeah, it's Katherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy.
Yeah. Cool.
It's my grandmother's favorite movie.
It's a great
Netflix
movie.
As soon as
I know, right?
I'm going to
Guys,
go to the classics.
It is an old movie about a woman who raises a tiger. And how she falls in love with this guy who's like, you shouldn't have a tiger.
Literally. Literally.
Sign me up.
Right. I'll do another one.
It's my favorite. Okay, yeah.
We went right to the astronomy lab, and I wore a red jacket, and I brought Natalie Wood along. And
Rebel there without a cause. Stood.
Yes. And I hollered, someone stabbed me.
Guys and dolls, people
sit on your rocking boat.
Nailed it. Awesome.
I don't really know what happens in this movie, so.
Perfect.
Great.
It sounds like I'm from Maine, but I'm from. What do you say when someone's from a place? Da 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 da.
Local?
I belong here. I'm just singing.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Oh.
Oh,
like a citizen, perhaps?
Uh-huh, like a citizen.
Citizen Kane?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And I'm just going to go, Citizen Kane, Citizen Kane, Citizen Kane.
Gimme, gimme.
Citizen Kane. Citizen's got a cane.
Oh, God. God.
Rose's shirt.
Yeah, there we go.
Rose's got it.
I was like, oh, I'm not being helpful. I try. Okay.
That's incredible.
It's in black and white, and there are two guys dressed as two ladies.
Some like it hot. Nobody's perfect.
They're on a train. I think Marilyn Monroe's in this.
Cheers.
Kellogg's Cabaret.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, what good is it?
Some like it hot.
Yeah.
We said.
Oh, yeah. Some like it hot. Cabaret. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Boosh.
Teamwork.
All right, Kevin, you're last.
Okay.
You ever seen the musical Sugar?
That's what it's based on.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Caw, these
birds.
Things are flying around.
Memory.
You.
Yeah. Memory birds. Memory musical birds.
And that's. What was this? Plot points. Cool. Well, before we play our next game, we have a couple more questions for you. What's your favorite musical?
Ooh. Oh, man. Dreamgirls. Mm-hmm.
Such a good choice.
With that girl that you met.
Yeah, with the
in
Japanese
the stage
girl.
Tour.
I have to see
in
it.
That costume.
Do you have a favorite song from Dreamgirls?
I love all of them, but...
Music is so
good. So you're
good.
At the gym, and you have the Dreamgirls original Broadway cast album.
Okay.
What are you on the treadmill to? What track?
Definitely Move.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If I'm like on the treadmill, definitely move. Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Awesome. So you're being sent to a desert island.
Yeah.
And before you go, forever, before you go, you can only see one show, the perfect version of that show. What are you seeing?
Ooh.
Oh, and the island does not have theater.
Oh, right.
Like
this is not a
theater
island.
So I can only see one.
This is it.
Those theater islands.
Those theater islands.
Oh man, if I could see Heather Headley do Shug Avery in The Color Purple one more time.
Oh my god, it's so good.
I mean, yeah.
That's a great choice.
Oh man, that was
everything.
She was
between
amazing.
The two of them was like palpable.
She
was
incredible.
Amazing.
Like chills.
Yeah. What's your favorite experience seeing a show? It doesn't have to be your favorite show, but like you'll never forget being in that theater and watching magic.
Ooh.
It can also be a magic show.
I would definitely say Porgy and Bess with Audra McDonald. That was, her performance was stunning.
Mm.
And I remember exactly where I was sitting. And it was actually, I was very young and kind of silly. And I thought that, you know, things should happen quickly. And, you know, and I was going to leave the business. And I saw that performance. And I saw magic. And I was like, that is worth everything. Like, just to see. I mean, it was just a stunning performance.
That's an, I really like the way you described that. And I assume you do, like, new readings of shows and like kind of what's one of the best things you've read or sang through recently?
Douglas Lyons and Pack Chart. They're new composers. Okay. They're incredible. Last year I got to sing one of their songs in a concert, and it was really, really exciting. Like the kind of excitement that was around, you know, Pasek and Paul.
Yeah.
And you know, it's that kind of feel. So yeah, that was
that's
great.
Cool. Shout out to them. Check out their stuff. I don't know them, but why not?
Yeah, they're great.
Cool.
Apparently, we will soon.
We should play another game.
Yeah,
great.
Let's do it.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
This game, also on suggestion from mom of the show, Gail Cooper.
Gail Cooper!
I asked my mom what a good game would be revolved around kinky boots. And she goes, well, like, what are famous father and sons?
Ooh, that is a good game.
Oh.
That was her entire contribution, so I made a game.
Father and son game.
Great, so I'm going to read you two first names.
Okay.
And then the first person to give me the last name gets the point.
Oh, I love this kid.
This is a good from. This is from.
These are just famous father and sons.
Are these real people or characters? It doesn't matter. Anything.
From shows? Real or? People. No, they're real people.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Kirk and Michael.
Douglas.
Ooh.
Colin and Tom.
Hanks.
Good one, Kev.
Will and Jaden.
Pinkett Smith.
Wait, who got that point?
I think he. I think
Kyle definitely got it.
Ben and Jerry.
Stiller.
Candy?
Yes.
Oh, Kevin. Ice cream.
That's the last name. Ice cream.
Martin and Charlie.
Sheen.
For an extra point, add
Emilio.
One.
Emilio. Yes. Yes.
Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Gordon Bombay is his name.
Okay, who else? Chuck and Eddie. This is Broadway specific.
Cooper. What, Cooper?
Oh.
You got it there first. But with an attitude. What, Cooper?
John and Julian.
Oh, Lennon.
Correct.
Oh.
Who's Julian Lennon?
His son that
his
hey,
son,
Jude
he has
is about.
Some songs.
Oh.
Donald and Kiefer
Sutherland.
Yeah. Oh, you want the ones that I wouldn't know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Like,
Gary and Jake.
Gyllenhaal.
Busey is correct.
Damn.
This is my where my wheelhouse
God,
right now.
I like Gyllenhaal. Like,
if I know one name, I'm going
yep.
for it.
Alexander and Stellan.
Sarsgaard.
Hamilton.
This is terrible. Why are you so good at this?
He know that was right.
Yeah. Yes, that was correct.
Who's Stellan?
His dad.
Stellan Sarsgaard, his dad. Mm. Carl and Rob.
This is the Thor movies.
Carl and Rob.
Reiner.
Correct.
Wow.
Jesus.
Let's keep them going.
Jesus and God.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Jesus and Joseph.
Of Nazareth.
Yes!
So good.
James and Scott.
Con.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Brian's just gonna win. Let me see if I can stump him before we're done.
Let's stump.
What's a
Brian.
Scott con?
He's the hot one.
On Hawaii Five-O. And
but
an Entourage.
He was in a. Was he in?
Oh, okay.
Was
yeah.
he in the Italian game or a movie
Job?
Of such ilk?
Maybe, I don't know. Oh, he's in
Ocean's 11.
11, 12, and 13. Yeah.
Great,
works off of Casey Affleck.
Right.
Like the two of them.
Alan and Robin.
Thick.
Correct.
Good one, Ken.
Yes. Nice.
Oh, all I right. just wanted to go out on Brian, not getting it right.
Cool. That was a lot of fun. So, before we get to Kevin's Corner,
yeah.
or should I say Kevin's Corner.
Kevin's Corner.
Do you have any funny, oh no, this went wrong, on stage stories?
Oh, yeah.
Any that you can share.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the first one, Angel Kinky Boots forgot that there's a big break after Sex is in the Heel and Everybody Say Yeah, where like they're getting all sappy. So I would go upstairs to my friends in the dressing room who were swings and I would talk to them every night and that would be my thing. So I got comfortable on the show finally after making the debut and I didn't know that I didn't have a wig on. And like the theater is huge. And I have my shoes in my hand, I have my slippers on, and I'm talking to them. I'm like, all right, you. And now Stark's like, everybody's telling me. And I'm like, okay, I'll see you guys later. And they're like, you have no hair on your head. You know that, right? And I was like, and the song is starting. He's like, everybody say yeah. And I'm like running down the stairs like I'm on fire. I get my wig on. The Angels have already entered on the conveyor belt. And so I have to enter like from the other side of the stage to catch them. Because it's the kind of thing, like if you're not on stage, no one's going to move the conveyor belt.
Right,
like,
right.
You've single-handedly ruined Broadway. It's done. The musical's not going to happen.
They actually shut down all 41 theaters.
So then I got there in time for everything. But like once I got on stage, I was shaking. Like I was like,
oh,
this
yeah.
is done. This is like, it was a mess. Everything was in fast. So that was one. I got in trouble for that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
It never happened again. That's like my Patti LuPone story. So that happened. Then sometimes weird things would happen like on the road as Lola where like the thing with that is if you flub a line in a British accent, what comes out is not British.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Because your brain is like, it's a glitch, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like that it would be hard to like not burst out laughing. It didn't happen often.
I always forget Kinky's British.
Me too. Yeah.
And on the tour, they were really specific about the accent. more than in any other place.
Interesting.
Which was a lot of fun, but it also meant that when you dropped it, it was like,
gone.
Sometimes it'd be Southern, sometimes it would just be like, it just was weird to the ear. Yeah. So that was always kind of weird.
Ooh.
Broke a heel once in the argument scene.
Just once?
Just once.
I feel like that would happen all the time.
I was going to say, I feel like that would be a regular occurrence.
But we learned from Kinky Boots to reinforce the heel with steel.
That's it.
Amen. So you broke a heel.
I broke a heel in the argument. It was like he was yelling at me saying, you're ridiculous, this, that, the other. And I'm like, sometimes he goes, sometimes the truth hurts. And I'm like, the truth! And I, for whatever reason, I think I was being contrived. I saw Jesse Mueller do this in Waitress in Boston that week. Like, she would do this thing where she was yelling at him and she would stomp her foot. Like, and I was like, oh, I kind of like that. It probably gives her something, right? Yeah. So then one night in Boston, I decided, I was like, the truth! The truth! And I stomped and that heel snapped. And I still had to walk up to him and walk off the stage. So, like, burn up
your left calf got a workout that night.
You know, I was, like, hobbling up to him and, like, trying to make it look better as I walked off the stage.
In an argument where he was calling you ridiculous.
Exactly.
And you're trying to make a point with the broken heel.
There was another time where he snagged my necklace and all the beads went everywhere. That was actually kind of magic. And it was during the argument scene as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the beads go everywhere at the beginning of the argument when he's yelling at me. And so first we kind of just look at them. We're still saying the lines. And then I decide, I'm not going to let him pick these up. I'm going to pick them up. But then you're in the dress, so you feel uncomfortable. Like, it was so humiliating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it, like,
really
added some weird layer.
Oh, it was so great.
Now, as his character, did he help, or he just, like, watched you be humiliated?
He started to help, and then he stopped. And I kind of, like, remember pushing him away, like, no, just don't even. And so I was, like, grabbing as he's talking to me.
That's the theater magic.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was that Audra theater magic.
Yeah. It was it was so much fun to do that play.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
Well, I think it's time.
Okay.
I think
to
it is
end
time.
The episode. Thank you so much. No, Kevin. And now I introduce to you our Poppin' Rock Jagger.
Poppin' and Rocking.
And Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I ask very, very important questions that everyone wants to know the answer to, especially me. Mm. Kyle.
Yeah.
Question one. What's the best vacation you've ever had and why?
The Dominican Republic. And why? Because they bought out the theater and all the angels got to take a vacation together. So it was the angels and we had this great house that apparently Beyonce stayed at. And it was just this amazing moment where time kind of stopped for me.
That's awesome.
Question two. What cartoon character is your spirit animal?
Gerald from Hey Arnold.
Oh! So good.
He's so cool. He's a funny best friend. His hair is amazing.
Amazing.
His hair is
sister
amazing.
Is crazy trying to sell those chocolate turtles.
Oh my goodness.
You know.
Man, that's
Timberly.
Yeah, Timberly.
Great prequel.
All right, I'm dropping the accent for question three.
Because
I actually, I've known you for like almost 10 years. And
wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You're also 70 years old?
I am. Yeah. I'm 70 years old.
Yeah, continuous joke.
And
that's not a callback.
You got a callback for what? Oh my God,
bughead. For jokes.
One thing that has always been a constant as long as I've known Kyle is his really interesting and unique take on music and performance. I know when I first met you, you were developing a cabaret act where you like created a persona to play on stage, and I thought it was so kind of beautiful that you then ended up playing somebody like Lola, which is like somebody else who's created a persona, but there's like a big heart to it. And so I just thought maybe you could share with some of our listeners like how you attempt, because you've also done, like you said, those videos you've done where you've taken like classic songs everybody knows and kind of spun them and done it in like a very kind of soulful like throwback song. And what have been like your inspirations and like what has like brought you on this path to do this kind of very interesting take on music and performance?
Just being a big old kid, I had a big imagination as a kid. You'd leave me in a room and I was an only child for a little bit. So I would just play and create and like make up shows. I've always been like that. And then I moved to New York and like there's a difference between the work that you do because you need to pay bills and the work that you do because it feeds your soul. And I do believe that I've had some great performance opportunities in musicals that have fed me. But, and also, in the down times, you have to do something, right? So that's kind of where it all started. Like, in between auditioning, what can I do that's going to make me feel good about myself and also get this thing inside of me out there in the world? Because there's someone out there always who wants it and needs it. And if you just don't take the risk of putting it out there, then what are you doing with your life? Mm-hmm. Inspiration, I would say Bette Midler, Billy Porter, Patti LuPone, Shirley MacLaine. I would say those would be the main...
Shut up and do it.
And like, you know, that kind of like, just get up and do it and with your life, with everything. So that's where that comes from.
And that has been Kevin's Corner.
Kevin's Corner.
That was a good Kevin's Corner.
Thanks.
It's also the last episode of Kevin's Corner.
I do that every time.
And that's my ongoing joke. But let's play a final game.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Ready.
This game is called The Musical Factory.
Okay.
Oh. Another factory.
Because Broadway's missing another factory, and we need to get it back.
Yeah. Bring back the factories. Wait. Go on.
So, I want you to draw a Lights of Broadway show card.
Okay.
And inspired by that card, tell me what kind of factory you would make.
Great.
Okay. Got it.
Is it a candy factory? Is it a shoe factory? Is it a car factory? Who knows? And then if you so choose, you can musicalize it a little bit. Like,
great.
Make it into a narrative. But if you just get a person, you can just say what kind of factory they would build, like Willy Wonka.
Cool. Great.
I love it.
Ready?
Sure.
Kevin.
I'll go first.
And if you need further cards for inspiration for anything else in the factory, by all means, draw.
Okay. So I have John Cameron Mitchell.
Oh.
And I would say that John Cameron Mitchell would create... a sass factory.
Oh. Yes.
And so it would just be a bunch of really strong, sassy divas who are doing all of their sass into a machine that then is turning it into an actual, like, thing. So they're like, selling, like, a box of sass.
Great.
And what would happen to someone who purchases this purchases the box of sass?
So it would give people who are like a little like nervous about themselves or like insecure, it would give them like all the security and like the confidence in the world.
Mm.
And then I think it would be interesting if it was turned into a musical where you would have somebody who tries to open four boxes of sass at once and then become this like over the top insane sass machine.
They just do Rose's turn.
Basically.
So it's a Patti LuPone music box factory.
I love it. Exactly. Exactly. It's
but
basically
it turns you into the music box. Like yeah, you go yeah. into the music box and yeah. become the ballerina. That's where
no, but it turns you into Patti LuPone, and then there's another Patti LuPone, like the real Patti LuPone. So at the end, there's like a big showdown between the two Patties.
And you can only buy it at the music box theater.
Right.
Yeah. Great.
And Patti does both parts.
All right. I'll go.
Okay.
This is an old Broadway cast recording factory.
Okay.
And it's only fake musicals.
Yes.
So you go into this factory and you can only find musicals that don't actually exist.
Should you tell everyone who you have?
This is a Bob Martin factory.
I.e. Man and Chair.
Man and Chair Factory. So you walk into the factory, and this is, it's very creepy at first. And there's this man sitting in a chair when you walk, and he's like, hello. And you're like, hi, Man and Chair. And he's like, what would you like? And all of a sudden, like, you tell him, like, what kind of a musical you love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I like sass. I like big band numbers, but I also like a very quiet 11 o'clock number that's really introspective. He's like, that's great. I have a musical for you. It's called The Baboon in the Tree. And and you listen to it on a record player. It's kind of like
and it comes to life around you on a stage.
It's very...
8 shows a week.
It's very...
At the Marriott Marquis.
It's very similar to the Lincoln Center Theater Library, but all the musicals are not real. But they are real to you.
They're curated just for
your
brain.
Yeah.
I see them.
It's called Don't Wanna Throw Poo No More.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
I don't wanna
mine.
Be a tree no more.
I love that show.
Stop climbing
that
on
show
me
is
no more.
So good.
I love Drowsy Chaperone.
This would be the elegance with a perfect amount of raunch and sass factory.
Amen.
Angela Lansbury.
Yes. Mm. And someone would get murdered at the factory every week and she would solve it.
Yes. But first she'd crack a really good joke. A dirty, dry joke.
Yeah. Maybe solve a mystery.
Maybe make a pie or two.
Or serve you some tea.
Always in a pantsuit.
Always a pantsuit.
Yeah. Maybe it's a pantsuit factory.
You can buy pantsuits, you can solve mysteries, you can buy jokes. Angela's here for you, girl.
It's a mall. I think it's more of a
Yep. It's a mall with like an underground factory full of like little Angelas just pumping out everything.
Love it.
So taking good. Care of everything. There's tea, lots of tea.
What's
in
her
factory.
Food court?
Tea, only tea. It's only tea.
That is incredible.
Kimberly.
Okay.
Only tea.
The Angela Mall. I want to go there right now. Get myself a sensible pantsuit.
You look good in a pantsuit.
Thank you.
Or a regular suit.
Or just a suit.
That's one of those tricky things, like a pantsuit. I always feel like that's like not the way, that's not a real thing.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, why is it called a pantsuit? Because the suit always has pants. Like
women's suits.
No, it's a women's suit. So it used to be skirt suits, and then once women could wear pants, it became a pantsuit.
I feel like we need to change that now. Though.
We should just call
and just
it
be
a
like,
suit,
hey, you're
right?
wearing a suit.
You know what I mean?
But and now like the and it should be differentiating if you're wearing a skirt suit.
Yeah.
But no one wears those anymore.
I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. But like
only in a musical.
I mean, they might come like, back
yeah.
again.
Promises,
no.
promises. Yeah, she wore pantsuits or skirt suits. Yeah.
That's the only reason.
That's also weird to say a skirt suit. That's like a skirt suit. But it's like a suit.
I wish
it was a steak.
I was gonna say I could really go for a steak right now.
I wish I could just wear a steak.
Hey, Lady Gaga did it. Yeah.
True.
Kevin, I think you mean Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Anyway, I have in my hands a dream factory.
Okay.
And this factory is specifically for when you're losing yourself a little bit.
I love this factory.
Do you see what it is?
No, but I mean I didn't see, but I know.
When you're losing yourself a little bit and you need to get back to the core of yourself, but in a dream state, you go to this factory and you can tilt at windmills.
It seems impossible.
And you can dream impossible dreams.
Ah.
And you get to go through this factory and live out your most ridiculous dreams of what your life should be. And then at the end, you're still in jail. And that was Man of La Mancha, the factory.
It's just jail.
It's just jail.
It's a jail factory.
It's jail where you've been there long enough, you're hallucinating. I don't know what jail's like. There you go.
Well, that actually brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
Yeah, amazing.
I know.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. You can follow him at KTP.
KTP.
KTP Way. on all platforms. Keep a lookout for when his next concerts are going to be, because we don't know, but he's going to know soon.
You also really check out his YouTube videos where he does a lot of different like musical theater standards, but in really awesome ways. They're really, really great. And if you live somewhere where you can't get to see the concerts in New York, that's a great way to see the talent that is Kyle Taylor Parker.
Thank you.
Cool. And don't forget, we are at Broadwasted on all platforms. Go onto iTunes and subscribe to us.
3 stars? Wait, no.
5 stars.
5 stars, please.
Wait. Are you selling us short over there?
I didn't know if that was like an actual joke or a genuine mistake.
No, it was a genuine mistake because you said 3, and then I was like, I took the word 3 and ran.
In what world do you rate things from 1 to 3?
I don't know.
I'm
in the
sure
world where they
something.
Don't believe in 4.
What?
I don't know.
What?
Anyway.
I don't know. I was trying to think of how you would do 3.
Anyway, 5 stars, please.
5 stars.
Thank you so much again. We really appreciate you joining us.
No problem.
Thank you for having me.
Always nice to have a Lola on the podcast. You're our first Lola.
You are.
Oh.
So it's great to have our first Lola on the podcast.
We had Charlie.
Yeah, who?
Adam Kaplan.
Oh, I love him. Yeah. I did it with him first in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
I want to say, but it could be the baby.
But yeah, you were...
It's the baby. Hudson
That's
Baby
Bourbon.
Thank you, Hudson Baby Bourbon Whiskey, for really delicious. And we end every episode with a quote.
We do?
I hate you guys so much. Our quote today is... Cheer up, Charlie.
You mean my favorite song from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Give me a smile. What happened to the smile I used to know? Don't you know your grin has always been my sunshine? Let that sunshine show.
Are those the lyrics?
Yes.
Oh, I revoke every time I said that was my favorite song. I'm so sorry.
Charlie, give me a smile. What happened to that smiley? Oh, God. Anyway.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah.
I kind of missed that one on our show.
I love that song. While she's paddling the laundry around.
Yeah.
The big paddle. Who was
that? Let's raise a glass. And as we end every episode, cheers with our View Upstairs glasses that we randomly found here.
View Upstairs bump.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.